How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah! Crushed it!"
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
How's it going? And welcome to episode 165 of On the Wire, proud member of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. Follow the pod on the Twitter at On the Wire Pod. I am Adam Howe. You can follow me at 80 Grade. That's all spelled out. And Kevin Hastings is at Hastings Kevin on the Twitter, of course. We have a great show for you lined up today as we enter our 10th Fab week of the 2024 season. Kevin, we are, I don't know if this is like officially like the third way through the season or not. I haven't done the math. I just kind of popped in my head. It kind of feels that way. We still got lots of season to go. So how are things going for you so far?
It's going great, Adam. Thank you. Hope things are going well for you. I just watched the Royals finish off a win here on Friday evening for a seventh win in a row. Second time this season they have at least a seven-game winning streak already. So yeah, things are going very well for me.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just keep the conversation all on the Royals' success at the moment and not have to talk about anybody else's favorite team on this podcast. That's fine. Yeah, it was fun. You know, we had a whole week off of this pod, but I got somehow at my, you know, day job, I got sucked into doing like video content and audio content for them as well. Somehow they got wind that I might have some experience doing that on the side. So that was interesting to kind of like translate what we do on a regular basis, week in, week out, into something that had absolutely nothing to do with baseball. And so that was a fun experience. And, you know, it's like, you do these like webinars or these podcasts for like, you know, and on a business standpoint, I've got my mic out and they're like, "Oh, you came prepared for this." I'm like, "Well, I already have the setup. I might as well use it. You asked me to do it. I'm going to try to do it as right as possible." So hopefully I think that came out pretty good.
Yeah, I love it. So I've brought this up several times over the years that the great thing about doing this for me is when I'm watching a game and my wife says something about it, I say, "I'm working." Right. Well, now when you're doing this, you're training for
there
work
go. There
because
we
you're
go.
Using it there too. So I love it.
It becomes a write-off, if nothing
yeah,
else.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's put these mics to good use here and get into some news from the week. Of course, unfortunately, most of it does revolve around new IL stints. So I'll kind of scatter those about, but there are a lot of them. Let's start off with one that is becoming less and less surprising every time we talk about it. And that is Eloy Jimenez hitting the IL once again with another hamstring strain doing. I had to ask you before we started recording, Kevin, because I'm like, it doesn't matter. Does it matter what he was doing? Because it's going to happen. But he's expected to miss an extended period of time. And in his place, the White Sox call up Zach Deloach from the minors to replace him on the roster. Let's talk about Deloach in your interest level in him, whether or not he's going to get the same kind of playing time that Jimenez was. Is this a one-for-one swap? Do you expect him to actually produce at this level? It's not going to take much as long as he doesn't, you know, get in the fielder's way of trying to catch an infield fly. Andrew Vaughn, what are you doing? No, obviously that was the most ridiculous call I think anybody's ever seen, at least in the last decade. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go watch the ending of the Thursday night game, Orioles White Sox, and how that game ended. I do have Craig Kimbrell on a bunch of teams, so I didn't mind the two pitch, two out save that he came in to deliver. You don't see that very often, but man, that was just atrocious. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. Zach Deloach, thoughts on his situation in Chicago?
Well, he's pretty interesting in that he had over 600 plate appearances at AAA last season for Tacoma and the Mariners organization, and struck out almost 28% of the time, but walked 13%. Hit 23 home runs, stole 8 bases. So we're getting pretty close to a 3 true outcome guy here last season at AAA. And it has not really translated to this season. Only 2 home runs and 159 plate appearances at AAA in the White Sox organization. He's brought that strikeout rate down to 22.6%. That's great. And kept the walk rate in the double digits at nearly 12%. All great. Just not hitting with the power this year. Stealing more bases. This is probably an organizational thing where he's got the same amount of stolen bases in 38 games in the Chicago organization that he had in 138 games with Seattle's AAA team last season. So maybe he'll run a little more now at the major league level. The problem is, and you brought this up when asking the question, what's the playing time going to be? And he started the first day after he was called up. But now this is the second day in a row that he is not in the starting lineup. So only one start in the first 3 games since being called up. That's a little concerning. Obviously something that we need to monitor over the weekend and see if he does get more playing time. I really don't see a whole lot going on here. Sure, there's more plate appearances for somebody. So far, Gavin Sheets has been the designated hitter the last 2 days. It was Tommy Pham the one day prior to that. So I think we probably do see Gavin Sheets in the designated hitter position, at least against righties. So he'll be the benefit a little bit. Maybe he'll play a game against lefties here and there. Danny Mendick has been the third baseman most days. Nicky Lopez is playing every single day now, and prior to Friday had hit second in the lineup for 2 straight games. He's not doing anything that interests us in the fantasy world. I just don't see a whole lot here that has changed. That you know, Tommy Pham, he's playing every day. Paul DeJong's playing every day. But the the guys that are going to benefit this, probably an extra game or two each week, aren't guys I'm really interested in. I thought maybe Dominic Fletcher, and I just don't see anything there either. So unfortunately, I don't see a lot with the White Sox.
That's all you had to hear.
That will help us out.
Yeah. I think that's all you had to say was that I don't see enough with the White Sox. Period. Unfortunately,
well, they have scored some runs in some games recently, sure. And you know, a couple of their starting pitchers have been very viable this season. So they're kind of a tricky team because we don't want to count on these guys too much, knowing that it's the White Sox, but there are some results there that we would take if we, in hindsight, we wish we'd have had some of these guys in our lineup.
Fair. And we make the same jokes about like the Oakland A's, and look, they're actually being mm-hmm. somewhat successful, at least more successful than anybody would have expected at the start of the season. Rockies are still rocking, but we got
exactly. That's a great point. Like I said last week, that I liked all three Oakland pitchers that were facing the Rockies this week in Oakland. None of them got a win. None of them got blown up. I think one of them gave up 4 runs in 5 innings. Not something. If I'd have got a win there, wouldn't care about it at all. I still don't care too much. Another one was 7 innings, 3 innings, but or 3
a lot
runs.
Of volume there.
But
yeah,
we're looking
absolutely.
For wins. We're looking for wins there. And the Rockies scored too many runs last week for us to get them.
Who would have thought? And not even in Colorado for that matter.
Right.
All right. Let's let's get off of somebody going on the IL. Let's get somebody off the IL here, Kevin. It doesn't have a happy ending, spoiler alert, but Shane Baz excited, went through some rehab stints, got taken off the IL just to be demoted to AAA. You hate this on so many levels. But you're like, oh great, you finish his rehab stint, we can start seeing him. No, not only is he not eligible for your IL spot in leagues where you have them, but now he's got the little NA next to his name. He's just wasting a bench spot. So the question is, like, how long does he waste this bench spot on your teams?
I would hold out for a little bit here. I think this has a lot to do with them just not feeling like he's quite ready yet. I'm not worried about the 6 ERA at AAA. This is his spring training, right? So he's probably working on things, probably not going out there and using his pitch sequencing and such as he would in a normal game, probably working on different pitches for certain amounts of innings at a time or certain game appearances that he had. So I'm not too worried about the results at AAA, but there's only been 12 innings pitched at AAA this year. The 12 innings at AAA this year is all he's thrown since 2022. So I don't think this is a performance thing, and I don't think it's anything we should be too worried about. I just think he needs a little more time to be ready for major league game action.
Yeah, it's a good point to remind everybody, like, hey, he hasn't pitched all this year. This is his spring training. This is his ramp up. He's going to need more innings than that. You only get so much time on a rehab stint, especially as a pitcher. You only get so many outings in that time frame. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're on some kind of pitch count on those rehabs. So whether he's ready or not, if this was like just coming back from an injury that he sustained earlier this season, as we see with so many countless other pitchers, you finish up your rehab, you go right back to it. But he hasn't pitched yet. As simple as that. So,
right.
We'll likely see like this will be a one where it's like when he comes up for his first start of the season, it'll be very similar to what Nick Pollock always calls a still ill. He's like, he's coming back from injury still, even though he's been pitching at the AAA level. I still feel like that first start is going to be some kind of like still ill year. Like, I'm not sure where he's at. It's his first start of the year at the major league level. Let's see where he's got, and then you can kind of make a decision from there.
Right. And in spring training, what we often will talk about, a couple of things we do care about in spring training: strikeout rate and walk rate. It's only 12 innings. but a 13.6% strikeout rate and an 18.6% walk rate for a negative 5% K minus BB is not going to get you sent straight to the major league club when you're eligible.
Those numbers, even if those numbers were reversed, they still wouldn't sound that good, but at least they'd be on the right side of zero.
Exactly.
All right, let's we'll kick somebody off to the IL again. We have Estuary Ruiz joining the IL crew here with a strained right wrist. A's place him on the IL and replace him with Daz Cameron, called up to take his place on the roster and presumably in the lineup. Can, you know, obviously there's a lot to talk about Ruiz's playing time this year so far, on, off again, et cetera, being demoted, coming back up, what have you. But does he leave enough playing time on the table, and can Daz Cameron be the one to make use of it?
No, no. They have Miguel Andujar in that spot tonight, Friday night. We're recording here once again with Daz Cameron to the bench after starting in the first game after he was called up. So once again, this is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on over the weekend. If Daz Cameron doesn't play both Saturday and Sunday, then the most we've seen him in the lineup since his call-up, by the time we have to make this decision on Sunday, is half of their starts. So I don't see a whole lot there. Miguel Andujar, this is his first game back from the IL as well. So I'm wondering if that's gone overlooked a little bit by many of us, that Miguel Andujar would be available as well when they called up Daz Cameron, because this looks kind of iffy playing time wise to me here.
Yeah, no matter what kind of name you might recognize, like Daz Cameron, obviously, you know, has the pedigree and has the lineage, if you will.
It's still only 27. That shocked me.
Yeah.
Seems like he's been around for 15 years.
Yeah. It does feel like he's already played for like every team somehow, for the last, decade plus, obviously being sent up and down in a couple spots here so far. Not exactly Edward Olivares, esque, but still seems to be going, up and down for quite some time. My point was going to be, just because you recognize a name, don't assume that he's going to get right into playing time. And playing time at this stage is, worth more than anything else. And if you're not seeing consistent playing time out of somebody who's already on the border of whether or not you should be looking at him for as far as production goes, it's probably not something that you need to spend a whole lot of fab on unless you're in a very desperate situation. All right, so I'm going to try to bounce back and forth from IL news to non-IL news the best I can here. Luckily, we got one more in here. It is a demotion. It's not an IL spot, but Jack Suwinski gets demoted by the Pirates. And it wasn't a one-for-one swap, but it was like 2 days in a row. There was Jinwan Bae got promoted 2 days prior, along with demoting a pitcher, and then Suwinski got demoted and they brought a pitcher up. So it basically was a, position player for position player, pitcher for pitcher within a 2 day span. So Suwinski obviously earning this demotion, not exactly performing the way that a lot of people thought he could be, or at least not producing at the level of the fantasy players needed or wanted as they were considering drafting him. But Bay has some potential, obviously not his debut here. Was already called up at one point or another. Can he slot in and do what Suwinski was not able to?
Maybe. But my big worry here is the Pirates' schedule in the near future, right? We would definitely be interested in the stolen bases that Jiwon Bae could possibly provide here. He already has one in two games, right? Had 727 games at AAA. he's had 25 to 30 stolen bases most seasons going back combined major league and minor league times over the last few seasons. We know he's got speed. We know he can steal bases. He typically doesn't have a batting average that will kill us. Most of the projections have him between 240 and 250. So that's all great. We just need to see the playing time. And the problem is he's a left-handed hitter that typically would be the large side of a platoon guy, and they faced three straight lefties. He did start against one of them, got that stolen base. So it'll be nice to see when they start facing right-handed pitching going forward, what we can see from Bay here. I think there is some interest. This is where you can use this to your advantage, or it's a big disadvantage depending on how much roster flexibility you have. Pittsburgh has a 5-game week this week. The first two games is a 2-game series versus Detroit, where they will face Tarik Skubal, another lefty. So Bay's probably not even in the game, and nobody's hitting Skubal these days anyway. And then Jack Flaherty, who's striking out 30 some guys every time he goes out there. So that's the two that are facing the first half of the week. So one, initially, that takes my interest away. But two, if I do have room on my roster, it's going to keep the price down this week if you are interested in having him on your bench for using going forward.
Always looking ahead, Kevin. That's that's the way to look at it. Get those deals where you can, if it makes sense. Obviously, you're not forcing the issue with Bay or somebody of his, what he's producing. So that's just something to consider what your roster construction is. If you have like 15 or 16 rosters, I bet you one of them could probably benefit from at least taking a look, putting them in the water for a bit, etc. All right. We got another IL set. Actually, we got two to make up for it. The Baltimore Orioles are out two starting pitchers. First, John Means, of course, hits the IL with left forearm strain. Of course, this is the same arm that he just had surgery on recently. More to come on that. Dean Kramer follows suit just like a day later as he hits the IL with right tricep strain. Who is left in Baltimore to actually throw the ball to home plate on a, every 5 days, Kevin?
This means we're going to see a lot of Cole Irvin and probably Albert Suarez going forward. Both are guys that I have listed when we're talking categories later in the show for some decent, if not great, matchups coming up. But I think that's what we're looking at. I think Baltimore's rotation is now Irvin, Grayson, Burns, Suarez, and Kyle Bradish. I like both of these guys a little bit. Not that they're outstanding, but as I'm sure will be brought up several times throughout the show, because it is every week these days on every podcast out there. Starting pitching is rough, especially the chasing wins. It has been really tough. So I like both Cole Irvin and Albert Suarez tentatively, depending on matchups going forward, because it looks like they're both in the rotation for a little while.
It would be nice. There's a lot of talk in the offseason, at least in some places, that, Baltimore has, they still have people in the minors that could make a difference at the major league level. Most of them are not on the 40-man roster, so they have that holding them back. I'm talking about like Cade Povich, Chase McDermott, at least the two names that, really pop out on prospects lists and in those circles or what have you. They do have the likes of like Bruce Zimmerman down there as well on the 40-man, Jonathan Hesley. They've got some guys that could make it up. They chose to bring up the likes of Dylan Tate instead, who's obviously not coming in to start games. He might be an opener here or there, or part of a bullpen game. So not of immediate interest for sure. But I think that, do you think that this kind of opens the door, the idea of kind of pushing one of those other top starters up. If we're realizing we might be out these two guys who they thought could be part of this rotation for the majority of the season a little bit early. And if these guys were on your wild card section, I didn't look that far ahead. I'm not trying to play spoiler here. But like, are you willing to, in leagues where you can pick up guys like this, are you willing to take the chance now before they get the call? Or are you just not convinced that that's the direction the Orioles are going to go?
I am fairly certain, and I don't have a whole lot to base this on, but I just don't see the Orioles making those moves. I think if they were, we'd have seen it by now. Right? They've been shuffling guys in and out of this starting rotation all season already. I think we would have seen one of these guys or been hearing about something being close to imminent by now if that's the route they wanted to go. I think what we're going to see from Baltimore, in spite of the moves to get Corbin Burnes and Craig Kimbrell in the offseason, is if it's still them and the Yankees nice and tight, even if it's not, as long as the Orioles are still relatively healthy, other than the starting pitching they've already lost, I think we see them very active leading up to the trade deadline, but they get by with who they have until then.
Yeah, that of course would have been the next question is, you know, how active this is. They were all the talk of the town at the last deadline. They did nothing, or they did minimal amount of nothing. And they obviously made the trade for Burnes in the offseason. So that kind of like, oh, fueled the fire. Like, okay, they're ready to make moves. We know what the Tide are doing. We know the depth that they have, especially on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to their prospects. So they have, you know, the depth to pull from. You got to assume that, yeah, if they are really ready to make another 100-win run, and then go deeper, you know, actually go into the playoffs, they got to be willing to part with somebody who's not going to help them this season and make and, you know, get that name that even if they only have them for 2 or 3 months, it might be all they need. So, yeah, look for that in in July and into August. All right. We got another demotion here, Kevin. And we're going to get to that one right after this break.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad
stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh. The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
All right, the motion, of course, is Matt Manning coming on the heels of a return of for the Tigers, Kenta Maeda returning back to the rotation. Manning not really doing himself any favors as of late, getting knocked around quite a bit. If you hadn't already dropped him, I mean, I don't have to ask you whether or not you're dropping him or not now, especially since he's in the minors and not producing anyway. Kenta Maeda, you know, kind of back and forth before he got hurt. Are you under the assumption that his falters before going on the IL were caused, you know, from, you know, some kind of lingering injury that obviously forced him onto the IL, and now that he's back and presumably healthy, how much trust are you putting into Maeda, putting him into your rotations?
It's matchup related. I mean, he had three horrible outings in his seven starts prior to going on the IL. The other four were, three of them were really good, and one of them decent or better. We know this is what can happen with Maeda. We know he can be cruising and we can start to feel really comfortable sending him out there, and he gets blown up for six earned runs in three and a third innings against the White Sox, as he did it back on March 30th. We know that can happen with Maeda. I think if healthy, for the most part, he's worthy of being in our fantasy starting lineups. Definitely 15 team leagues, more than likely 12 team leagues as well. I don't know that I'm going to go throw him out there right away. He's pitching against Toronto this evening, and then we see him probably at Boston next week. I don't know if I want to throw him out there at Boston either. So I might be waiting another week, in which case, once again, like I talked with Bay, if you're interested in Maeda going forward and you have the flexibility, this is the week to grab him, because I don't think there'll be a whole lot of people spending much money on him this week with his one start coming up being at Fenway.
Yeah, I mean, everybody looks at the matchups, of course, but it's also a situation where the reverse can be true, where no player has as much value as they do when they first come back from an injury or when they first get promoted. Right. Just the fact that he's active may be enough to get people to be interested because they need a pitcher. So just consider that as you're considering how much to bid on Maeda if you are, you know, finding yourself needing to do so. All right, another IL stint here. I got two back-to-back, but I am going to end on a positive one. Don't worry, I promise. John Gray hits the IL with a groin strain, which was, you know, unfortunate because he was on a nice, what, you know, of course, I will reference another Nick Pollock term. He was on a nice little Vargas rule. He was, you know, putting together a string of pretty good outings in general. So it's one of those things where you knew he couldn't last, but you didn't think he was going to end by way of injury, though John Gray is no stranger to injury. This comes at the expense of his groin, which nobody wants to hear. But what are we expecting? I saw a great note. Unfortunately, I had rostered Andrew Heaney in a league, and I'm reading the little note that came on him, and I think it was either from Roto World or whoever does the Yahoo, maybe just Yahoo, whoever does the Yahoo notes. It was like, Andrew Heaney would, if it wasn't for like an extremely dysfunctional rotation in Texas in the form of injuries and health or lack thereof, there's no way Heaney would have a spot in this rotation. I mean, this is just making matters worse for that fact. Is there anybody else who has more job security now that Gray is not in the picture for a little bit? And is there anybody else that could actually take advantage and be of use to our fantasy teams?
Fortunately for the Rangers and for some of us, it appears that Nathan Eovaldi will be back this week. So that helps. But man, to that point about Andrew Heaney, the Rangers have an IL of a six-man rotation. That would be Jacob deGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, Max Scherzer, John Gray, Cody Bradford, and Tyler Molly.
Yes,
they could roll in a six-man rotation with their IL, and it would be one of the best rotations in baseball. Just horrible. Hopefully, the thumb for Scherzer gets cleared up, because other till that setback, he was close to coming back. In fact, it actually happened in a rehab start. Haven't heard much since then. It's been a couple of weeks. So hopefully things are going okay with Max Scherzer, and we see him soon as well. But the big thing here for me is, it really does appear that they will get Nathan Eovaldi back this week. And what we've seen over the past couple of seasons, when he's healthy, as long as his velocity is there, he's going to be good. Just keep an eye on that. You may not put him in your lineup for that first start just to watch the velocity. You'll know how Nathan Eovaldi is going to perform. We've seen that for, what, three seasons now.
Yeah, it's a one-for-one thing. If the velocity is there, he can do wonderful things. And if it's not, it's usually the opposite of that.
Exactly.
All right. Finally, no more pitcher injuries, but a really scary injury with Xander Bogaerts, who ended up with a fractured shoulder. They're making a diving play on the field. It's not even, you know, I mean, I'm glad it's not, it wasn't like due to a collision with another player or getting hit with the ball or hit with the bat or something crazy, which we've, you know, seen all those things this season so far. But he's just making his play, just doing his job, fractures his shoulder. He is confident that he will be back again this season. Obviously we saw, you know, with Contreras out there in St. Louis, you know, he's broke, you got a, you know, fractured arm, and he expects to be back this season as well. So this is not out of the question. Shoulders a little scarier, because it, you know, is obviously something that you need as a middle infielder, to throw the ball and, you know, move and what have you, and obviously swing the bat. First and foremost, what are we seeing the Padres do to fill this gap? And is Bogaerts going to be out long enough where his production wasn't really doing anything for you anyway this season, or at least not to the level you needed it to be? Is he just a drop at this point?
He is for me, unfortunately, and I have him rostered on 50% of my NFBC teams. So this one hurts quite a bit. And I was hopeful, you know, we knew it was a shoulder injury. We didn't hear anything for a day or two. I was hoping maybe he separated it, you know, get it popped back in, and he needs a few days off, maybe even an IL stint. But hopefully this is fairly short term, even with the performance that has been lacking so far this season. I was still hopeful to get him back soon and that he was going to get things right. He's a drop for me. Significant time is what we're being told. Hopefully back this season has been put out there. So yeah, that's too long for me. Even in 15 team leagues, I'm going to let him go. As far as the Padres go, I think they're going to do what they've done the last couple of days, at least for a little while. They're going to let some guys get some, you know, half of a break days. They had Tatis in the DH spot yesterday, Machado there today. So they're not playing in the field, but they are still in the lineup. They've moved Arias from second base to first base so that they could move Cronenworth from first base to second base, and they've kind of swapped spots there over the past couple of days. So not a whole lot going on. You know, we've seen other guys as the DH throughout the season, Profar now and then. We had seen Arias at designated hitter now and then. I think it's just meaning these guys play in the field more often. The one guy that I think gets a boost here is versus lefties. We will see Donovan Solano in the lineup. We already had been seeing that. I just think it's more definite now. We can count on it. And San Diego faces four left-handed starting pitches this coming week, including 3-for-3 in the first half of the week. Now, Donovan Solano, not much power at all to speak of, doesn't attempt stolen bases, but the San Diego lineup that's starting to come together. They've been scoring some runs. Having a guy that hits for a good batting average and will score runs and maybe run into a couple of RBIs for us. In 15 team leagues, you could probably do worse than Solano facing three lefties for the first half of this week as your middle infielder.
Yeah, back to Bogaerts. I mean, yeah, I know he's being very, you know, optimistic about coming back, and that's just who he is. That's his nature. Of course, he's going to say those things. You have to assume that it's really going to not only depend on him, but it's also going to depend on where the Padres sit in the standings come August or even September.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You know, if they are double digit games out from a playoff spot, you know, I do not expect him to be forcing himself back onto the field. Maybe single digits, but I think it's going to have to get close. I think they'd have to be closer to like five games out entering September type of scenario. All right. Last note here. And I said I was going to end on something that did not involve somebody entering the IL. This news is the potential of somebody coming off the IL. And that, of course, is Royce Lewis, who I am personally very excited for. I think he is closer to one of my 50% rostered players on my teams. He is set to start his rehab assignment on Saturday. So by the time you're listening to this, he should have, cross your fingers, has done at least one rehab stint or start on Saturday. Assuming, knocking on all the wood in my house, everything goes well, Kevin. And he's back with the Twins at the major league level in, I don't know, 5-7 days, whenever his rehab stint is deemed to have concluded. Who's he kicking out of the lineup? And does he get right back into playing 7 out of 7 or even 6 out of 7 on those full week's worth of games for the Twins? Or do they ease him back in because of his history, because of, you know, the kind of injury he sustained this year? And do they just have some kind of like Byron Buxton PTSD type of thing where we're just like, we can't have another guy going down every 2 months?
Well, and Buxton is back as well. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, they can't just
manage everybody. All
the time. Yep. Although Buxton has only DH'd one of the last six games and he's been in center field for four of the six. So they sent Buxton right back out to the outfield. A little surprising. I don't know what Minnesota is going to do here. I really don't. I of course, Royce Lewis is phenomenal when healthy. It's going to be awesome if and when we see him stay healthy. I think, to your point, I think they will ease him back in a little bit. But by easing back in, I think this is a really quick rehab assignment. It's like DH one game, play in the field a game, and okay, he's ready to go. However, probably not playing a full 9 innings every single game for a couple of weeks once he gets back. The nice thing is they do have that DH spot. If Buxton's going to be in center field, I'd much rather have Royce Lewis than Trevor Larnach as my designated hitter. And my hope is, based on performance so far this season, that Miranda remains in the lineup and it's Larnach that loses time. That's kind of my hope. But if they're going to put Royce Lewis back at third base, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Miranda. This is something that worries me a little bit because Miranda's been quietly fairly productive. He's not doing anything unworldly, but he's been okay. And I've been using him in a couple of my lineups, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, it's already getting iffy with Jose Miranda. If I have to move on from that, what am I looking at? Is where I'm at there. So this is going to be really interesting to keep an eye on. There's all kinds of things going on. They're moving Willie Castro all over the outfield. I really don't know what Minnesota's going to do. My hope is we see Royce Lewis in the designated hitter spot quite often.
See, I agree. I think if this is, it would be behoove of the Twins to make this a short rehab stint. And, you know, as long as he doesn't have any step backs in his first couple, just send him right back to Minnesota as they are home against your Royals to start next week. But then they are on the road for three straight series. And I just wonder, I know Major League Baseball players are used to travel and all that, but like with the amount of travel that they're going to have to jump around the country, with only one off day in the next like 2 weeks for the Twins, going to Houston, going to New York, and then going to Pittsburgh before finally coming home to face the Rockies. I wonder how much strain that actually puts on somebody's, you know, body who's still coming back from a major injury that they can sustain at any time, because that's just the type of history that Lewis has shown, at least through his short career thus far. So just, I think that kind of plays into your idea that he very well may be getting a couple extra off days when he comes back in. So it may not impact that playing time on Miranda, on Larnach as much as he would if he were to be coming back at 110%.
The Twins lineup is fascinating if you really look at it and what they're sending out there every day. Three of the top four hitters in the lineup versus right-handed pitching don't play at all against left-handed pitching. Edward Julian, Trevor Larnach, Max Kepler do not play against lefties, but are in the top four right of the lineup when it's a righty on the mound. They got some guys down lower in the lineup that do move up against lefties. The guys that only play against lefties, which they have four of them, right? Vasquez catches every single time they're facing a lefty. Carlos Santana plays against every lefty. Kyle Farmer, Manuel Margot. They all play against every lefty. It's crazy. And they had three lefties and three righties over the last 6 days. So it's really difficult to see, because Royce Lewis is going to play every day. So it could be two guys he's kicking out of playing time here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy to see as I look at the lineup tracker here. You're absolutely right. So you know, at least you know who's starting those four spots in the lineup every time they face a righty or a lefty, for that matter.
Great team if you're a DFS player to keep an eye on what's going on every day.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. There you go. All right. Well, that is enough news and notes to shake a stick at for us this week. We got some players to talk about, Kevin. I want to pick your brain about all the different categories that we might be looking for in Fab this week as we enter the 10th Fab run of the season. Before we do that, we are going to take another quick break.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your crave.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
All right, we are back. Of course, you are still listening to On The Wire. We just hit on a whole bunch of news and notes that may or may not impact your FAB considerations. There's a whole bunch of other things that happened throughout baseball this past week. To find out everything that happened, you should be listening to the First Pitch podcast on the daily with Casey Bubba on the weekdays and Jake Crumpler on the weekends. They break down all the news, highlights, and observations from every day's worth of games, as well as looking ahead at each slate to keep you up to date with everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues. And for all things starting pitching, of course, Nick Pollock's Plus Pitch podcast every weekday. He highlights every starting pitching performance from the day prior and also looking ahead at your streaming options for the next day in your daily leagues. It is an invaluable resource. Check it out every single day if you're not already for whatever reason. But Kevin, let's get some recommendations for our weekly FAB. Sunday night, typically around 10 p.m. Eastern. What time is that for you, actually? What time is FAB run for you on the Big Island?
4 p.m.
Oh, man.
Which is it? The good thing about it is most games are over by 10 a.m.
Sure.
Right? I start at 6 or 7. So I can get most of my stuff taken care of fairly early in the day. But of course, we want to check on things. We want to make sure we haven't missed anything. And we want to, double check everything that happened on Sunday as well that might affect our decisions. And, living somewhere where we hang out at the beach a lot on weekends, 4 p.m. on a weekend is not ideal.
No, not so much. And I'm sure the reception at the particular beaches that you might be going to isn't always perfect.
Exactly. That's the biggest problem, because I have no issue pulling my phone out at the beach. People walk by and laugh at me. Look at this guy. He goes to the beach and is on his phone. I'm like, I live here. This is where I do everything is at the beach. So,
yeah, you don't have an excuse. If you live there and you're there all the time, you still have to do other things.
I got
to
do some things. Yeah,
so you got to do it from where you're doing it. All right. Well, let's see who we're looking at here. Of course, we start off with our hitting categories, Kevin. Power, home runs, RBIs. Who's out there? Who's available that can hit some bombs for us and knock in some runs?
All right. So you talked about the Kansas City Royals a little bit early in the show. And historically, I have not rostered very many Royals on my fantasy teams, even the good ones, the guys worth using. Whit Merrifield, when he was stealing 40 bases, I never liked where he was being drafted. I've always been kind of tough on him. This season was different. And it was because I thought I didn't think they were going to do as well as they are doing, but I thought something along these lines was in the cards, and that meant that they were being undervalued because of the narrative of the team being bad. And for the most part, that has played out. So, but I do have at least a couple of Royals I'm going to talk about tonight, and they fit into this category. Michael Massey started the season on the IL. And has come back and had about 100 plate appearances 6 home runs already, the 6th one coming on Friday evening, and he is just smoking the baseball and was in his rehab assignment at AAA as well. He's performed well all season long ever since he came back from this injury. He is universally rostered in 15-team main events, but he's one of those players where there's a huge drop-off to the 12s. Less than half, 43% of 12-team RotoWire online championships. So he's available out there in 12s and should be 100% rostered in 12-team leagues as well. But there's a caveat. We got to keep an eye on this over the weekend. He did leave Friday night's game with what they called lower back tightness. The reason that is so concerning, his back was the reason he was on the IL to start the season in the first place. My hope is that because he was on the IL for his back in the first place, that this is very precautionary and he'll be right back in the lineup, if not on Saturday, on Sunday, because Michael Massey will play against all right-handed pitching and some left-handed pitching. He's not going to be a strict platoon, but when he's given a day off, it'll be against lefties. Royals, 7-game week this week, all right-handed starting pitching. So I really hope Michael Massey is okay and gets back in there. And in the 12-team leagues, he should be 100% rostered. Much more available. Paul DeJong, I think we briefly talked about him a couple of weeks ago because he had started getting playing time in Chicago. He is the only guy in Chicago on the South Side that plays every single day. And he's doing what he does, hit for a low average and hit home runs. So he's hitting, I think, .237, which is about as good as I would expect from Paul DeJong. If he keeps that above 220, I'm happy. If I'm using Paul DeJong, I want 220 and some home runs. He's only 11% rostered in 15-teamers and 2% in 12s. So Paul DeJong is somebody that I will definitely be adding if I need power.
I mean, we just mentioned Paul DeJong.
And
just
he's in the clean show. Up every game as well, just to turn it on top there.
It's just one of those things where you see him in someone's lineup in a 12-team and you're like, there isn't somebody better that you could be picking up. And then you realize what he's doing and he's playing every day and that he's actually being useful and he's hitting in the middle of the lineup. And you're like, oh, I mean, there are reasons to like you. Maybe you picked him up because actually the one team in one of my leagues picked him up because he lost Trey Turner. So he needed another shortstop at the moment. So this was like a band-aid. And now it's like, well, he has guys he could be calling up. He has Volpe in his minors that he hasn't called up yet. And with our weird rules, I'm like, why aren't you calling a Volpe? Oh, because you don't want it's time manipulation at the fantasy level, which is
right.
Whatever.
But he's getting his home runs.
He's getting his home run. He's getting what he needs out of that position. And yeah. I'm like, I hate this for you. but good on Paul DeJong for being useful once again. So I like the call out, of course. All right, we need some speed to go along with the pop. Paul DeJong is not giving you said speed. So who else do you have your eye on there?
I think DeJong does have like 2 stolen bases, not a 0. Going against your point there, but it does help. Every little one does help. Harrison Bader, we talked about him quite a bit in the offseason and about if he's healthy, we know we'll get some stolen bases from him. And that's been the case. He was scuffling there a little bit for a couple of weeks, and he has become more available than he was. He was dropped in some places. Still 86% rostered in main events, only 25% in online championships. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Mets are one of the handful of teams that have a 7-game week coming up. So I like Harrison Bader a lot for this coming week where he's available. Also, some of the guys we've talked about recently, and every time we talk about them, we make the comment, we'll hear about these guys again, right? I think last week was Jorge Mateo getting a lot of playing time. And even hitting a home run or two. Definitely running. I think he has 3 stolen bases each of the last 2 scoring periods. Dairon Blanco, we might see become more available. He's like 0-for-8 this week with 0 stolen bases after everybody picked him up last week. Well, and the Royals, as I mentioned earlier, facing 7 right-handed starting pitchers this week. He will get starts versus lefties and maybe one here and there, especially when it's a 7-game week versus a righty, but he's not going to get many starts this week. As we've talked many times over the past couple of seasons, he doesn't have to start to be valuable when it's just the stolen base category we're worried about. But I really like Harrison Bader this week, but don't forget about the guys we have been talking about all season, all offseason. They're still not universally rostered. So, as you like to say, always check. Guys like Mateo and Blanco are out there with double-digit stolen bases already.
Yeah, all this talk about stolen bases not going up. I mean, in comparison to last season, it's still nice to see that you're seeing a lot more players, you know, take those chances early on in the season and get up to that double-digit mark. As you mentioned, maybe not the players you necessarily expected or even the players that are getting everyday playing time. We always say it, like, stolen bases, if you have the talent to run the bases, stolen bases is the category you can still provide even if you're not starting every game. So there's still value in those kind of bench bats in your lineup. All right, we got some opportunity to look after here, Kevin, in the next week. Schedule notes to consider. There are quite a few teams that have 7 games this week, including Boston, Kansas City, Minnesota, Houston, Seattle, Atlanta, the New York Mets, Washington, who also have back-to-back 7-game weeks the following week, and then the Cubs and Milwaukee rounded out for your 7-game work weeks this coming week. 2 teams, the last couple of weeks, we haven't had any 5-game work weeks. We have 2 teams with 2 off days this coming week, including the Texas Rangers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. No weird off days. Everybody's, all their off days are on Monday and or Thursday. Colorado, of note, has 3 at home against Cleveland, and then they are on the road at the Dodgers for 3. Cincinnati is also 3 at home. They host St. Louis. So get your Cardinals in there. And then they are in Chicago to face the Cubs for 3. So no games in Great American Small Park or Coors over the weekend of next week. So with all that in mind, anything else you want to consider, Kevin, as far as matchups go, playing time, etc., who looks like they might have a little bit of an extra opportunity coming up this week? So maybe they can make a name, they can take advantage of it.
Yeah. So I've brought this up a couple times on the show, but last offseason, I said that Freddie Fermin was going to be on the opening day roster for the Kansas City Royals, and on Casey Bubba's podcast that you were on as well. And literally 10 minutes after we recorded that, he was sent down.
Yes.
Well, he performed very well in spots last year for Kansas City when they needed him. I was pretty big on him again this season, and now he is finally getting the opportunity. He has been the starting catcher 4 of the last 5 games that the Royals have played, and Salvador Perez played every single one of those games. He only caught 1 of the 5, 2 at first base, 2 at designated hitter, the 1 at catcher. I think this is what we're going to see going forward because Freddie Fermin is so good. Tonight was the 6th time in 8 games that he had multiple hits in the game. He is just hitting the snot out of the ball. The home runs haven't been there. He's only got 1 all season. But when I'm getting a 300 batting average and runs in RBI from my catcher 2, I will take that in a heartbeat. And I think this is going to continue. This is the Royals' best lineup is when Salvador Perez is at first base or designated hitter, because Freddie Fermin has been hitting much better than many of the outfield / designated hitters that the Royals have on the roster. So I think this is going to continue. Great opportunity, especially with the 7-game week coming up. Probably see, I would say at least 5 games for Freddie Fermin this week.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals are lucky in the respect where they have the ability to lean on Perez to be the designated hitter as often as he is. They don't have really another set player that needs that extra playing time. Please correct me if I'm wrong here, but it doesn't seem as though they have that player like the Twins are going to need to rotate in, you know, Buxton and Lewis and anybody else that gets injured. So, I mean, the Royals don't have a guy that they need to rest because of injury, because they need to get their, you know, glove off the field, like an Eloy Jimenez type of situation. It's just like the DH spot can mostly be Perez's, and then they can, you know, just kind of rotate that around where necessary. But it is nice that they can kind of lean on that, keeping Perez healthier, and then obviously giving more opportunity behind the plate for Fermin. So, yeah, good call out there. As people are trying to figure out their catcher situation.
I'm sure Salvi is lobbying to catch every single day, but
he just shows up in his full gear like every day.
5 OPS is more important to the Royals than him being behind the plate.
I could totally see him being like, shows up at the ballpark 4 hours early, just in full gear already. They're like, no, Salvi, you're DHing today.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad
stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
All right, let's move into pitchers then. Those throwing the ball to Salvi when he is behind the plate. Looking for the volume plays here at first, Kevin. Of course, I'm talking about you're chasing those wins, chasing those strikeouts, looking for those double taps if they have the best matchups. Who can get you that volume this week and possibly the week after?
Yeah, I have several names here, and it would, you know, a lot of them have to do with matchups, and some of them I have questions about that I'm hoping to figure out before Sunday. But I want to go through several names just because the starting pitching landscape, especially when we're talking chasing wins, has been absolutely crazy. I have a couple of leagues where I have the most innings pitched. I'm first in strikeouts, near the top in ERA and WHIP. My starting pitchers are performing splendidly, and I'm at the literally
no
the bottom, last yep. place in wins, right? Because bullpens are blowing leads, whatever's going on. It is rough. And I think we're approaching 50% of non-starters getting the wins in Major League Baseball games right now. It's crazy. So I have several names. One, I did mention earlier in the show that I like both Baltimore Orioles that appear to be, if not getting an opportunity to move into the rotation, their spot is probably more sound now with the couple of injuries that they have. Cole Irvin's actually a two-start pitcher this week for Baltimore. Now he's at home against Boston and also home against Tampa. That may seem like kind of an iffy situation there. However, versus left-handed pitching, both of those teams aren't performing nearly as well as they are overall. So I like Cole Irvin, even though it's a couple of semi-tough matchups there. And then Suarez looks like he gets the second one against Tampa next weekend. We will get to see him this weekend, see how well he gets stretched out. He gets the White Sox on Saturday. So if he doesn't pitch well against the White Sox, I'm not throwing him out there against Tampa. He doesn't have to be dominant against the White Sox. I just want him to perform well. So that's a couple of the Orioles there. Alec Marsh, we talked about him several times, and probably will, because I think he'll be a guy that we pick up and drop depending on matchups throughout the season. He's a fifth starter. So that's typically what we see with these guys. He's only 70% rostered in 12s, so he is available for that start at Minnesota. The Twins strike out a ton, especially versus right-handed starting pitching. So I like that matchup for him in the 12s where he's available. Cooper Criswell, we've seen good outings from him. Only 75% rostered in the main event. That surprised me a little bit. I thought that would be higher. And then one of the big gap guys that I talk about often going down to the 12s, only 17% rostered in 12-team leagues. He gets at Baltimore and versus Detroit. That at Baltimore is a little scary, but over the past couple of weeks, they haven't been hitting like they had the first month of the season. I am willing to take that risk of sending Criswell into Camden to get the start versus the Tigers later in the week. Ben Lively was somebody I've been really slow to come around on, and he hasn't been amazing, but he's been good enough to take on the Nationals. And he's nearly completely rostered in 15 teams at 91%, but available in over half of 12-team leagues. I was keeping an eye on Ray Kerr. Things did not go well for him on Friday for Atlanta. So I don't know that I'll be looking much more at him, but I did have that note in here as the Friday evening games had not started yet. Another guy I was a little slow to come around on, but is still available in 40% of 12-team leagues is Mitchell Parker. He hits at Atlanta, at Cleveland. Another situation where it's probably not as bad as that appears as far as matchups due to the handedness and how they have performed. Tobias Myers gets both the Cubs and the White Sox. He's not rostered anywhere, and I'm a little intrigued by Tobias Myers for the Brewers. And he's somebody I would look at. Obviously, we like almost anybody in any situation against the White Sox. As I said earlier, that can backfire sometimes, but I'm definitely going to look at it. And the Cubs being up and down, some days they look like they can beat anybody on the planet. Other days they look like they might not score again the rest of the season. So that could go either way, but I'm willing to risk it for the White Sox start. And Brian Nelson back in Arizona, only 25% rostered in 15-team leagues. Not that that's surprising so much since he has been on the IL, but I think he was probably drafted in many more leagues and would have been available to pick up last week. And a little surprised that percentage isn't just a little higher, a little bit of people looking ahead. for this two-step at Texas, at the New York Mets. Neither one been as scary as we might have thought as we came into the season. And one more, Matt Waldron. We never know how that knuckleball is going to be working, but he's throwing it over 36% of the time now. And when it is working, it is nasty. And he gets Miami this week. So he's rostered in less than half of main events and only 4% of 12-team online championships. So hopefully there's somebody there available in your format, in your leagues, and they do work out with the nice matchups and can get us some wins that have been so hard to come by.
36% of the time, it works every time. You can't not throw that out there when you make a statement like that. All right, lots of starters to consider with varying degrees of availability, of course. So as we always say, just check. And like I typically like to recommend, if you're in NFBC and you can copy your bids over from league to league, pick your shallowest league, your 12 teamer, or what have you, do all your bids there, and then and do as many waterfall bids in that league as possible, and then copy those everywhere. And it's a nice, easy way to kind of see if everybody's available. Plus, as Kevin, as you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you can check their profile page now on NFBC, as you can with Yahoo as well, and see what leagues they are available in that you're in. So there are a lot of different avenues to which you can check quite easily nowadays, instead of having to, you know, go through and place your bids week in, week out, kind of put in some efficiencies in your process. All right, we got to worry about ratios to go along with these wins and strikeouts, Kevin. You talked enough. I haven't made any recommendations today, so I'm going to go ahead and jump into this category at least. Somebody I'm looking at, as we typically do, is look for these middle relievers who are getting a lot of volume, who can really chip away at these ratios. And somebody I've had my eye on for the last week or two is Ryan Walker in San Francisco. The Giants bullpen in and of itself has been getting a lot of work. Ryan Walker not exempt from said work, as he's already pitched, I think, like 5 innings this week. He's got a win this week as well. Hasn't let up a run, at least in his last 2 outings. He's only let up 2 runs in his last a couple weeks worth of games. But since April 18th, which is the day after he let up 3 runs. So after that 3 run blow up, he has gone 16 innings in that time frame with 26 strikeouts and just 1 walk. So we're looking for that whip. We are looking for the ERA. He's only let up 2 earned runs and 2 runs for that matter in that time frame as well. So his ERA is still at a very manageable rate at 2 earned runs over 16 innings. Only 11 hits in that time frame as well. So he's got a sub-1 whip in that period. Somebody that I am definitely going to be looking at to kind of fill those inning gaps when you have those 9 spots in your rotation that you need to fill and you feel a lot more confident, especially since he did pitch today on Friday. So there's a solid chance that he does not pitch over the weekend and he's fresh for the following week, where he does spend the entire week, all 6 games in San Francisco before going on the road the week after to face a couple of teams on the road. Let's see. I think they got at Arizona and at Texas the week after that. So I think he's kind of hitting this stride. Again, anything can change. He could get there on Sunday and then maybe he gets pushed back a little bit more. But Ryan Walker in San Francisco is one of those middle relievers that can very well get enough innings where he's already gotten a couple wins on the season. He's got 3 on the season, including 1 just yesterday on most recently on the 22nd. So look for Ryan Walker if you need an extra guy to chip away at those ratios. But you got another name on here that I've had my name on as well. So talk to me about the other guy you might be looking at to fill this gap.
Yeah, that's That's cool, Adam, because I was looking at Ryan Walker as well. The only hesitation I had of marking him down here is that it's Philadelphia and the New York Yankees this week. That's my only hesitation. The two most fearful lineups in baseball right now. Everything he's doing been great. Same with Nick Sandlin, and he's been doing this for a few seasons now in Cleveland. Not going to get many saves, hopefully a win here and there. His ratio's always outstanding. He doesn't pitch more than an inning typically, and can actually pitch one or two outs to get them out of an inning. They do use him in those situations. That does cut back on how much help his ratios do give us. We need appearances from him because he's only going to get about one inning per appearance. But he is helpful in that situation. And the fact that he does do those partial innings, maybe this doesn't add up, but I'm kind of hoping maybe that helps Vulture win here or there. If they're going to use him when they have a close lead and they get in trouble and some traffic on the bases, depending on the timing of that with what the other pitchers have done and where we at in the game, maybe that gets him into position for a win. As I've mentioned, yes, this is a ratios category, but it's getting to the point where we need wins anywhere we can get them as well. Along with what, kind of like with some of the stolen base guys, a lot of the guys we talk about each week in this category going back are probably still available in your leagues. So you can check for several of these guys, the relievers with great ratios. And if they're getting in there in close games, that's a bump for me because I am hoping to snag a win.
Yeah, and as we get heading into more relievers in the next category with saves, it's always, if you find the talent, there's always a possibility they vulture in a save as well, even though you're not really grabbing them for that opportunity. But if you have that talent, there's going to be a situation that comes up where the top two guys at the top of the bullpen just aren't ready to go, or they're overworked, what have you, and they're going to, typically a team will reward that good talent and that good production with an extra opportunity at the top of the line, at the top of the bullpen depth charts. As you mentioned, like, these guys are still available. We talked about Brian Hudson last week, still 2% rostered in the main event. He's, doing exactly what you expected him to do this week already. We were worried about how many times he would actually get in based on his workload from the week prior. He got right in there on Monday and it worked out great. He's got just the 4 innings, but he's got 5 strikeouts, a 0 ERA, and a sub-1 whip on the week. That's as good as you would expect out of any streamer that you were trying to get off the wire in a deeper league. And he's not showing any breakage at this point, knock on wood. Somebody who is showing breakage that should or could have been an obvious choice for our next category, with Edwin Diaz being pulled from the, at least temporarily, pulled from the closer role in New York for the Mets, would have been Reed Garrett, but he is already like 95% rostered in main events because of how many wins he was putting up. Obviously, the number of, his ratios looked great in the first, month and a half of the season. And as soon as whispers happened that he could be in line to take some saves along with Diaz being out, he completely is blowing up, which is killing me in at least one league. But my point, I guess, is really I'm getting at is that he was already rostered. Like, he was already rostered right Everywhere because of the value people were seeing him perform, even as a middle reliever. He wasn't even the thought of being a closer, with Diaz at the top and other options that the Mets might have. So it's just, it's interesting to see one name kind of stick out. Matt Strom is also somebody people talk about a lot as well, but he's not even as rostered as much as he's only 9% rostered in the main event. So I just think there's this untapped resource on a regular basis to really, really dive into. And once the kind of the ball keeps rolling, it starts rolling, it doesn't end. It's like, all right, he was so good, these numbers, like, that he's just going to keep doing it. No, they're not always just going to keep doing it. This is a position that I'm always like, hey, just keep, you know, roll with it. It's like the Vargas rule I mentioned earlier. Like, you can roll with it until it's not a thing anymore, and then go pick somebody else. Pick up the next Brian Hudson. Pick up the next Reed Garrett. They don't need to stay on your roster if they're not actually performing. So that's my little spiel on Reed Garrett blowing up my ratios this week in my head-to-head leagues. But who else is out there, Kevin, who can actually provide saves? Because it does not look like Reed Garrett is going to be doing that anytime soon in New York.
Well, yeah, and prior to Wednesday's outing for Garrett, there's some thought that Adam Ottavino may get some of the save opportunities anyway. And he's 86% rostered in 15-team main events, only 28% in 12-team online championships. So he is available out there in some deep leagues, but in most shallower leagues, 12 teams and less. And Ottavino, I think, could get just as many or more now save opportunities as Reed Garrett. This is probably temporary. I don't think any of us expect, if Edwin Diaz performs well in a couple of outings, one or two is all it'll take, and he'll be at least right back to the eighth inning and probably ninth soon after that. Similar situation. I was a little surprised. Daniel Hudson, because he is not necessarily the one guy in LA, and we expect Evan Phillips back soon, not universally rostered. But these are both guys that are valuable even when they're not getting saves in our previous category. So I don't have a problem spending a little bit of fab trying to get these guys where they're available and not necessarily dropping them right away when Evan Phillips comes back into LA and we see Edwin Diaz work his way back into the ninth inning in New York. Both of these guys, we know they can help our ratios. We're just hoping to get some saves now as well.
Yeah, and then they just bump into the category that we were just talking about prior as well. So it's like the Mitch Hedberg joke. It's like escalators can't break. They just become stairs. Like, they just become something else that's useful. And so you got to think about it in that way. These pitchers cannot break. They can just become stairs. Wild card section, to finish us off, Kevin, you know it's my favorite spot. Give me some fun names to talk about or consider when I'm putting in my bids on Sunday that maybe don't fit into any of the categories we've already talked about.
Yeah, I got a couple of guys here. One, Nick Lofton. He's at AAA Omaha Storm Chasers in the Kansas City organization. Got sent back down about 3 weeks ago when Massey came back from his back injury initially. Nick Lofton was the guy sent to AAA. He's continued to perform well at AAA. I expect to see him somewhat soon regardless. I think they will cut bait with the Adam Frazier's and the Garrett Hampson's and their 650 OPSs and not even very good defense. I mean, both of these guys, both Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier, have won games for the Kansas City Royals this season offensively, and have both had highlight defensive plays that probably won games. But overall, they have been horrendous, absolutely horrible. No reason not to cut bait, take the loss, and get Nick Lofton back up with the team. Now, Michael Massey once again left Friday's game with lower back tightness. I hope he's okay. I hope he doesn't miss any time. But if he does, I don't see any way the Kansas City Royals give Garrett Hampson the everyday second base job, or Adam Frazier, or a combination of the two. I think that will force their hand, and we'll see Nick Lofton right away. Also, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of glossed over isn't the right word, kind of poo-pooed, actually, Nick Gonzalez, when we brought it up in the news and notes section of being called up by the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was due to his performance over the past couple of seasons in the minor leagues. Jeff Erickson put out a tweet earlier on Friday that was kind of a question. Should we be paying more attention to Nick Gonzalez? And it was right as I was staring at his numbers. Right? We're not going to get a ton of power from him. We're probably not going to get a whole lot of stolen bases from him either. But he's another one of these guys that he's hitting for average. He's cut his strikeout rate a ton. That was part of his issue in the minor leagues, even leading up to this season. One of the reasons I kind of poo-pooed this a couple of weeks ago, his strikeout rate's down to like 17%. And so he's scoring runs, hitting some RBIs, driving in some runs, I should say, and hitting for a decent average. And my interest is back on Nick Gonzalez. With this being a five-game week, kind of with a couple of other players that I brought up earlier, this could be the week to grab him. I'm definitely not starting him the first half of the week for two games out of 4 days in an NFBC format, but it might be the time to grab him. He could be useful over the weekend and then going forward. And it gives me – I'm forced to, yes – I roster him now, but I'm forced to give it a little more time and look at it a little more. But I've acquired him less expensively than he'll be next week when they have a 6 or 7 game week if he performed well this week.
I mean, Kevin, I hope that, you know, if the Rockies couldn't do it and Miami wouldn't do it, that the Kansas City Royals would also not be giving Garrett Hampson, you know, full-time duties. I mean, maybe it's bound to happen at some point for somebody, but I think that, yeah, hopefully it's not your Royals having to force themselves to make that decision. All right. Those were amazing players to consider as you're making your fab bids this Sunday. So keep all those in mind. Even if you are not bidding on them for this week, you're bidding on them for the following week and beyond. Always good to look for those values, especially if you were a little bit more aggressive in your bidding in the first month of the season. You're going to have to find a way to pinch your pennies throughout the remainder of the season as well. So always good to look ahead. Kevin, leave us with some final thoughts, though, that we can take with us as we are making our bids in this 10th Fab run of the season.
Yeah. So happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. And that, actually is kind of a date in fantasy baseball. We've been hearing this for years. A lot of players will hardly look at their roster until a Memorial Day. I think that's kind of outdated these days. You can't get away with that anymore. But it is kind of a date. So number one, don't forget to get your fab bids in for Sunday night. This is our first, like, we probably said it on Mother's Day. We should be saying it again now. We'll say it again on holiday weekends throughout the summer. Don't forget, but also be really careful, because in a very short amount of time, you know, it was a week or two ago, probably a week and a half ago, we hit the 25% point. We're a fourth of the way through the season. A week and a half later, we're already a third of the way through the season, right? Most teams have played, you brought it up earlier, and I looked, everybody's played between 48 and 52 games coming into today. So right at the 50 games, full-time playing time for most players. We're not going to expect more than 150, other than from a handful of guys. So we're at a third of the way now. All of a sudden, a guy with 6 home runs and 3 stolen bases, which might still seem pretty good in our minds, all of a sudden, that guy's on pace for 17 home runs and 8 stolen bases on the season. So this is the thing. We talk about this throughout the seasons. Take a look at each individual player and how they are actually performing on your team. Don't just think the name and, oh, he's good, he's good, he's good. But take a look and then realize what that stat line, if that's what you're glancing at, but first look to kind of go through things, what is actually good right now, right? 6 home runs isn't nearly as good as it was a week and a half ago. when it puts you on pace for 25 for the season. So just be careful when we're looking at this. Keep up with things. Don't forget to get our fab in this Sunday and enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, we got to a point in the season where a good chunk, if not all, of these stat categories that we look at are starting to stabilize as well. And so if you 100%. Do have players that have played the entire season, they haven't really missed any time due to injury or whatever, you have a better glimpse into what to expect or what they're doing differently and what have you. And you can trust those a little bit more than you could, say, just a couple of weeks ago. Good point. And
team
obviously,
trends as well.
Yeah.
Are changing. The Los Angeles Angels all of a sudden aren't stealing bases. They were number one. Them in Washington, right? I think I made the dumb joke about they were Hulkamania. They were both running wild, right? It was the two of them. The Angels have dropped all the way to ninth. They're all the way to ninth in stolen bases. 30 stolen bases behind Washington now. They just stopped running. So keep up on team trends too, and don't think what was happening the first month of the season is what is continuing.
Yeah, and in that situation, it's not one guy. Like, it's just not one guy that is like stopped running and like, oh, okay, well, if they're not running, then you know nobody on that team is running. They're kind of spreading the wealth around out there, or in this case, not spreading any wealth anymore or evenly. Right. So obviously, that is some kind of team dynamic or team trend, as you mentioned. It is. It is good to obviously look into what is causing these shifts in numbers and trends and what have you. So great advice there. Let's take that as we wrap up episode 165 of On the Wire. You can follow myself on the Twitter at @ADeGray. That's all spelled out. Kevin is at @HastingKevin. Of course, follow the pod itself at On the Wire Pod. After all that, I am Adam Howe. On behalf of Kevin Hastings, thanks for listening. And we bid you goodbye.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.